So glad to have so many folks with us. It's good to see Richard Chandler. He snuck in the back. Richard, glad to have you with us. We have a lot of guests with us today. We're honored to have you and hope that you enjoy this time of worship and fellowship together as we try to honor and glorify God. And as we are indeed the participants in this worship service and not the audience, we are offering worship to our Father. The text in John 8, 3 through 10 is one that you've read many times about the woman taken in adultery in the very act. It's interesting they did not bring the man. They only brought the woman. And they did this because they knew it was a violation of the law. Both the man and the woman were to be stoned. They were to be put to death because of this sin that they were committing. And so they brought only the woman so that they could have something to accuse Jesus of. They were trying to trick and trap Jesus, and he knew what to do. He knew how to handle himself in any situation. Now, I want you to notice verse 9. That's the verse I really want to key in on this morning. Verse 9. When Jesus said, "Let him that is without sin among you, let him first throw a stone at her." You be the first one to throw a stone. You who have no sin, you throw a stone. She's supposed to be stoned. That's right. You who without sin, you throw the first stone. And so he stoops down. He writes on the ground again. Now, verse 9 says, "Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last." They left her alone. She was not condemned. Jesus forgave her. Go and sin no more. She did sin. But that's not the point of this lesson this morning. They were convicted by their conscience. They knew that they had sinned. They knew they had done wrong. Do you ever know when you've done wrong? How do you know you did wrong? Well, I mean, I read the Bible, and the Bible says that this is wrong, and I did it, so I was wrong. Yeah, but how did you know that you did wrong? Because your conscience told you you did. Your conscience lets you know, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or it may be that there was some good thing that you really should have done and you had an opportunity to do it, but for some reason, one or another reason, you didn't do it. And your conscience bugs you and you say, oh, I should have helped that person. Oh, I should have said something to them. Oh, they were hurting so bad and I didn't say a thing and I should have said something. And your conscience is bothering you. You have been given a precious treasure from Almighty God. Something that needs to be protected and safeguarded against damage or destruction. Some will try to take it from you. You must not let that happen. And I'm talking about this treasure called the conscience. The conscience. This lesson is titled "The Answer of a Good Conscience." A good conscience. Paul speaks of this in Acts 23, 1 and 2 when he says, he's speaking before the Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin, and he says, he looks earnestly at the council and said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." When Paul was a persecutor, when he was a persecutor of the church, he was living in good conscience. He honestly thought he was doing the will of God. When he was standing before Felix in Acts 24, the very next chapter, verse 15 and 16, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." These men that were standing there ready to stone this woman, their conscience bothered them. They were convicted by their conscience because they knew they had sinned. They knew that they did not have the right to throw a stone at this woman. They knew that they had sinned. They knew. And you and I know when we've sinned. We know when we've done wrong. We know when we have made a mistake. Our conscience lets us know. Does anybody know what time it is this morning? Huh? Does anybody know? What time is it? Somebody tell me what time it is. 11? I got to set my clock, my watch. My watch is set at 10. I wonder why that is. Why is my watch not set at 11? Because I didn't set it. Now I've got to set my watch. Now the conscience is just like a watch. Now my watch keeps good time because my watch says it's 10 o'clock. And you say it's 11. What if I don't agree with you? What if I think that this is the right time? It is the right time over in the Rocky Mountains. It is the right time over in Denver. Okay? It is. So what if I just decide I'm going to go with that? You can set your conscience. You can have a sense of right or wrong. Paul honestly thought he was doing the will of God. His conscience was set wrong. He had the wrong time. Okay? He had the wrong time set on his conscience. He thought he was serving the Lord, and he came to find out he was fighting against God. People to this day have consciences that are working fine, but they weren't set right. And if you don't set it at the right time, it's not going to work right. This is why you cannot let your conscience be your guide, folks. If your conscience is your guide and your conscience is not set correctly, it's going to guide you away from God, not to God. But if your conscience is set right, then it is indeed a treasure from God that will help you get to heaven. It'll help you to recognize when you've done wrong. Because see, if you fill your heart with the Word of God, if you daily eat up the book, if you consume the Word of God so that it's in your heart and you know what God expects of you, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. If you do what's right, your conscience is going to cheer you on. And if you do what's wrong, your conscience is going to convict you. That's the way God made us. It's indeed a great blessing. But you've got to set the right time. Because if you don't set the time correctly, it's not going to work right. There are people in primitive tribes that have sacrificed their children thinking they were doing the right thing. Their hearts were broken. They hated having to do it, but they were compelled by their religious beliefs to sacrifice their children to these false gods. Now, they didn't think they were doing wrong. They didn't have the time set right. They were not going against their conscience. They just didn't have the time set right. And that was one of the things the elders had talked to me about this, and the four of us had talked, and we figured that we would probably have some issues to deal with. Sister Nilda, spelled just like Hilda, but it's Nilda, was an elder in the church that they were converted from. She was one of their elders, so she had a lot to learn about the woman's role in the church, how that they're not to be in the leadership role, although they do lead, but they don't have an office of authority or anything. You know, they had so much to learn. They had to reset their watches. They had to change their conscience to fit that which is according to the Word of God. Is that not what Paul had to do to the church at Corinth? Didn't he have to help them set the time right? Isn't that what he had to do? Man, the whole book of 1 Corinthians, I tell you, I don't think I'd go. Richard, I wouldn't go to church at Corinth. Bunch of liberals. Bunch of messed up folks. They were messed up. But Paul had to straighten them out. And he did it with love, didn't he? And they were doing in good conscience. But they needed to have the time set right. Brothers and sisters, that's exactly what we're dealing with. We're dealing with that everywhere. We're dealing with that in India. We're dealing with that in the Philippines. We're dealing with that here at Tanner. There are those of you in this audience today that have some changes that need to be made with your understanding of Scripture. There are things where you need to grow. There are some of you here today that need to understand things a little bit better than what you do. Some of us here today, our understanding may be wrong on some doctrinal points, and we need to grow. Hey, does that mean you're getting thrown out? No, it does not. I can't believe I just said getting thrown out. You're not getting thrown out or thrown out either. We all have areas where we need to grow. We all have things we need to improve on. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Pray for us, for we are confident we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. Brothers and sisters, that can be said of every one of us in this room today. We have a desire to live right before the Lord. We want to do right. We want to live right. Paul, in writing about the conscience of the Gentiles in Romans 2, verse 14 and 15, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. When they are doing by nature God's will, when they are serving God, when they're obeying God's commandments, even though they don't have the law of Moses, when they're obeying God's commandments, this is talking about Old Testament here, when they're obeying God's commandments, their consciences are excusing them. Hey, you're doing right. And when they see the commandments and they disobey, their consciences are accusing them. And that's how ours works too. When we do wrong, our conscience bothers us. Now, here's an application of the conscience, okay? Here's an application. In 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 13, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, many people serve many gods. We know this. Paul is saying that. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge, that understanding. For some, with consciousness of an idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol. They eat the food that's offered to idols, and they know it's offered to idols, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. They don't see anything wrong with it. They don't see anything wrong with it. They're eating an offering to an idol, and they don't see anything wrong with it. Their conscience is weak. It's defiled. You can take a watch like this and you can smash it a few times. I mean, really hit it good, and you can fix it so it doesn't work right. And you can do your conscience the same way. You can mess your conscience up so it doesn't work right. We have an obligation not to defile our conscience. But there are those who do that. There are those who do defile when they ignore the conscience or abuse the conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. They have shipwrecked their conscience. They've destroyed it, so it will not work right. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two of those that did that. The Spirit speaks expressly in 1 Timothy 4:1-2, that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Have you ever burned yourself real bad? I mean real bad. We're talking kill that part of your body. You know the nerves are dead there, and you touch that, you don't feel anything. You touch it, you don't feel anything. You can kill the nerves. And that's what you can do to your conscience. You can destroy your conscience so it doesn't help you. And a person without a conscience is one sad individual. You know, there are more scriptures. Let me give you a couple more, and then we'll draw a conclusion, and we'll be done. In Titus 1:15-16, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Here's the thing. How can someone torture a child? How can someone do that? How can a human being purposely injure and cause agony to a little child? But it happens, doesn't it? People do that. There are those people in the world today known as conscious deviants. They literally have a dead conscience. It doesn't work. Nothing bothers them. They could step on baby birds all day long and would never be bothered by it. And they could kill a child and it would not bother them. These people are truly messed up. You and I can hurt our conscience so badly. We could get so hard-hearted that we could do terrible things and never feel bad about it. We could deceive ourselves. We could injure our conscience in such a way so we don't feel bad when we do bad. This is why the writer of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What he's talking about is your conscience. Protect it. Keep it tender. Do not let it become hard. Don't become a hard-hearted individual. You need to be soft-hearted, tender-hearted, compassionate, feeling, sensing, aware. You need to be the kind of people who have a tender conscience. You need to hold that conscience and protect it from the wear and tear of life. You need to keep it protected and safe, because this is a treasure that you have within you. Do not let your conscience become damaged or defiled. Do not let your conscience become hard or calloused. Keep it soft. Keep it tender. Keep it usable. Because the conscience will help you get to heaven as long as the time is set right. The conscience will help you get to heaven as long as you keep adjusting based on what the Word of God says. As you continue to grow and learn from God's Word, you continue to adjust the time. You continue to adjust your understanding, your values. You continue to adjust so that you know you're doing what God says to do. You're being the person that God says He wants you to be. God gives us that conscience to protect us. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. We close with this thought. That's 1 Peter 3, 15 through 17. Then in the same chapter, verses 20 and 21, Peter describes that we at one time were disobedient to God, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The answer of a good conscience toward God. When your heart is touched by the gospel and you realize your sinful condition, and you realize how badly you need Jesus, you realize how desperately you need help to overcome the guilt of sin in your life, when your heart is tender and receptive to God's word this way, you're ready and willing to surrender your will to God. You're ready at that time to come to Jesus on bended knee and seek the forgiveness that comes through His shed blood. You're ready to give your life to God and surrender and obey His gospel. And so when you are then, having believed in Jesus, confessed His name, repented of sin, and then when you are baptized, the blood of Jesus washes those sins away, and you are truly showing a good conscience toward God. It is this answer of a good conscience toward God. When you come up out of that water, your sins have been washed clean, washed away by the blood of Jesus. It's not the water, it's the blood of Jesus that takes sins away. But as the old preacher used to say, you don't get in the blood till you get in the water. And that's the way it is. But when we come up out of that water, we are revealing our conscience. We're revealing that we truly believe in God, that we believe what He says, that we want to obey Him, that we want to be saved, that we want to go to heaven, that we want to be Christians. And so we surrender to Him. My plea to you this morning, brethren, is that you submit your heart to God and that you give this answer of a good conscience to God. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel today. Don't let your conscience become cold and hard.